Well, I know you've heard a little bit about what I'm doing here today, that I am preaching for a call. I know that you've probably talked about that and had some things said about that, but I just wanted to take a minute to talk about it too. Because what we're doing here this morning is a moment of discernment. There have been many moments of discernment leading up to this one, but this is one where instead of allowing the search committee to discern in your place, the church as a whole gets to discern. So we are all listening for God's voice this morning. And for some of you, when I say that, you're like, great, let's do it. And it's not scary at all. Great, you guys hold on for a second. Some of you, though, hear that and you're like, well, what does God's voice sound like? I don't know if I'm hearing it. What if I'm just hearing my voice? What if? And you get a little bit nervous about it. And that's okay, too. I'm glad you're here. We're going to pray about that. So don't worry. Be calm, just like I'm trying to be calm. And we'll get through it together, and I'm sure that God will speak. Some of you might even be here. People have all kinds of reasons for coming to church, and you might be here, and you're not sure about God or about Jesus. You're not sure what you believe. And you're thinking, well, how can I hear God's voice if I'm not even sure that He's there? Well, maybe you don't understand the language of listening for God's voice, but I'm sure you've heard before about gut feelings. And I would ask you to listen to your gut feelings, and I would trust God, and I would ask all of us to trust God that those gut feelings are coming from Him. So it's not just us getting in the way of Him. Before I begin, I'd like to lift all of that up in prayer to God. So if you would bow your heads with me, and we can pray together. God, we do thank You for the excitement of this morning, for the joy of this morning. And we thank You for that holy purpose we have this morning of discerning Your will. We ask that You would speak in the way that is best for us to hear, that each of us would be primed to hear Your voice, to receive those gut feelings, to know that Your will needs to be done here. Help us to do Your will faithfully. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I sat down this week to pick the scriptures that I would preach on this Sunday, and I had quite a terrifying experience because I opened up my Bible and I felt like somebody took all the good parts out. There's just, oh my goodness, what am I going to pray on or preach on? I don't know. It's kind of a scary thing for a preacher. I had some friends in seminary who took the time, and I think they were avoiding a project, and they took the time to figure out how long it would take to preach through the entire Bible, beginning to end, skipping nothing, also skipping no Sundays, no time off. And what they came up with was the figure of 77 years. And they shared with us that one evening as we sat around in the tower at Knox College, and we were all quite amazed because the same thing occurred to all of us. We're not going to get through it. We don't have enough time in our careers to preach the whole Bible. There will always be something new to preach on. There will always be ground that we haven't touched before. And we thought that was pretty exciting. And yet there I sat this week going, there's no new ground. I don't know what I'm going to do. And, you know, it's just that scary, scary thing. Well, usually in my current context in ministry, I preach in series, and that really helps me to sort of focus and to figure out what scriptures to touch on because you have that overarching idea of a series. And I could say that, no, that was the problem this week. It's different. I don't have a series that I'm preaching, so that was the problem. But if I said that, I wouldn't quite be telling the truth because the truth is something else entirely. The truth is that it was so hard for me to choose a scripture for this morning, to settle into a message for this week, because I was worried. I was worried. I had the opportunity to speak to Wayne on the phone here this week, and he reassured me that he'd mentioned to you that I might be a little nervous this morning. And God bless Wayne. And he wasn't wrong. I got that nervousness, that worry. It's a nerve-wracking thing to be here and doing this. And don't get me wrong, I do believe that this is a moment of discernment, that God will speak to us, that God is at work and His will be done. But still, I worry. And worry is one of those things that gets in the way. Jesus told this story about some seeds that were scattered by a farmer. And some fell on the path and they were snatched away by the birds. The birds came and they got in the way of what the seeds were meant to do. I don't know about you, but I know in my life, when it comes to hearing God speak, my worry gets in the way. When God is scattering the seeds that He wants to have take root in my life, my worry gets in the way. Well, sometimes it's not worry. Sometimes other things make it hard for the seeds of God's will to grow in my life. Sometimes I'm just too busy. Life doesn't slow down, does it? It gets crazier every day and every week. And all those time-saving gadgets that we have, our laptops and our Blackberries and our iPads and our cell phones, all of those just seem to make us busier in the end. Jesus said that some of the seed fell on rocky ground, and though it sprung up quickly, the soil was shallow, and the seed just didn't have the chance to take root, and the plants were scorched by the sun. You see, roots take time. And when I'm really busy, my soil is shallow. And though the seeds of God's will might spring up in me, I'm quickly distracted, and they cannot grow healthy, and they cannot grow strong. Jesus said that some of the seed fell among the thorny weeds. And the weeds grew up, and they choked the plants, and they could not bear good grain. Well, I have this issue. Sometimes I want to be right more than I want to be loving. And my need to be right, or my need to save face, or my need to look good chokes out the seed of God's will in my life, and I cannot bear good grain. You see, the seeds are easily threatened. There are all kinds of things that make it possible for them to fail to thrive. And when it comes to understanding what God would have us be, what God would have us do, there are all kinds of things that would threaten our ability to receive God's will. There are all kinds of things that would make it hard for us to hear God speak. Because the reality is that God's voice isn't always a booming thunder. It isn't always a big sound. Sometimes God's voice is just a gentle breeze or a little whisper, a small thing that can be easily missed by a heart that is set on worry or on busyness or on the need to be right. Well, if you're anything like me, right about now, as you read the story, you begin to worry because you ask yourself, how am I ever to receive God's will for my life? How am I ever to grow in my relationship with God? How am I ever to have even the faintest hope of hearing God's voice? Because there are just so many other things that can get in the way. And I've only shared three of the things in my life that get in the way. I think if we sat down together, we could make long lists of what gets in the way when it comes to our relationship with God. Sometimes our expectations get in the way. I mean, Elijah, in that little bit of his story that we read this morning, if he had been convinced that God only spoke in a strong wind or in an earthquake or in a fire, he wouldn't have heard the little whisper that was God. A couple of years ago at St. Luke's, we did that story as part of our VBS program in the summer, and it was so fun. It's a great story to do with kids because they can be the rushing wind and they can be the earthquake. They really like being the earthquake. They can do all those actions, and oh, they just had a great time with it. And after we told the story, we sat around and talked about it a bit, and I said to them, so what were you expecting? What do you think God sounds like? And we got into a discussion about thunder, which led to a discussion about lightning and God taking pictures and led us a little bit onto a rabbit trail. But we got back to it, and the kids were saying, yeah, we just don't expect that God has a small voice, a little whisper. Because God's so big, how could His voice be so small? Sometimes our expectations get in the way. Well, there's other things. Our devotion to worldly things, whether that's success or money or our career, our anger or other emotional issues that have never really been resolved. Our broken relationships with others might get in the way. Because the Bible's pretty clear that you can't love God if you're not loving other people. There are just so many things that get in the way. And we might feel like we do not have any chance of receiving God's will for our lives, of hearing God's voice. But there is good news. Because Jesus didn't end the story there. He said there was another place that the seed fell, and that was on good soil. And the plants grew, and they developed roots, and they yielded a crop, and they multiplied 30, 60, or even 100 times. You see, there is the possibility of good soil. There is the possibility of healthy plants and a great crop. I have a friend named Ken. Ken Jackson just had like a heart attack because he's like, she's going to tell a story about me. I'm not. Calm down. Different Ken. But I enjoyed giving you a heart attack. I have a friend named Ken, and his backyard is this amazing garden. It's actually snuck around and taken over his front yard as well. And he loves to give tours of his garden. And the things that he grows there are beautiful to look at and so good to eat. I have this memory of eating sugar snap peas at dinner at his house one night, and just the thought of it makes my mouth water. So good. Ken is a great gardener, and I say that with deep respect because I am not a great gardener. But there's something that Ken knows. He knows that a beautiful garden takes more than good soil. It takes time and it takes patience. It takes a gentle hand and sometimes it takes a forceful hand. There is pruning and weeding and sometimes even transplanting to be done if the garden is going to flourish. It's the same way with God. God scatters the seed, but God is also the gardener. God sees the big picture, and He knows how all of the plants fit in together. He knows when to plant and when to uproot. And we need to trust God as the gardener, and we need to let God do God's work. If we're really going to be good soil, that means we have to ask for God's help. Probably in letting go of some of those things in our lives, right? Worry, busyness, rightness, expectations, all those other things that we listed. Whatever the list is for your life, think about it. Take a look at it. What are the rocks and the birds and the weeds that threaten to make your soil an infertile place? And then ask God to help you in changing the soil. Because if we are good soil, God promises that He has seeds to plant in us. He has beautiful things, great things to plant into your life. Things that will draw you closer to Him, things that will draw you closer to others, things that will benefit the world around you. God has a garden to tend, and it's called the church. And it's made up of absolutely ordinary folks who are encountering the extraordinary God who reveals Himself in Jesus Christ. And if we would do the work and partner with God to do the work of being good soil, we could change the landscape in this corner of God's kingdom. I want to ask us this morning, what would it be like if we were all focused on being good soil, on allowing the seeds of God's will to grow up healthy and strong within us, to yield a crop that multiplies? On letting God be the gardener and giving Him the time He needs to tend to those seeds. We could be part of changing the landscape, of being the garden that God has planned. We could literally change the world. Maybe that sounds just like good rhetoric to you, powerful words, but not all that specific. Well, I want to tell you one final story this morning about someone who has been working at being good soil. There's a young woman who came to St. Luke's shortly after I started my ministry there. And she struggled with depression and anxiety, so much so that after taking membership classes, she confessed to me that she wasn't sure she could go through with becoming a member. And it wasn't because she didn't want to, and it wasn't because she didn't believe the right things, and it wasn't because she didn't want to be part of the family at St. Luke's. It was because she was so nervous about having to stand up in front of the congregation and answer those I do questions that we ask when someone commits to a congregation. Well, the day came for those questions to be asked and for her to stand up in front of the congregation, and I said to her before worship, "How are you feeling? Do you think you can go through with it? It's your choice." She said, okay, I can do it. I'm not going to be on my own, right? There's going to be other people there." I said, "Yeah, there will be other people there." Okay, I can do it. And she took the risk, and she came through it brilliantly. You wouldn't have known that she was nervous. And she continued to come to church nearly every week, and she joined a Bible study, and she began the work of becoming good soil, of asking God to work in her life and remove the stones, to scare away the birds, to weed the choking thorns. Well, more than 3 years have passed, and she now teaches Sunday school there. And she was my co-leader at summer camp, which is what we call our VBS. And she did opening skits with me. She addressed the kids as a group. She addressed the adults as a group. She is just not the same anxiety-ridden person that she was. And I'm not saying that she never struggles with anxiety before. I've been with her in times when she has. But the seeds of God's will are growing up strong in her, and she is producing good grain. And she is changing the world in her little part of the kingdom. Because when the seed falls on fertile soil, the plants grow up strong and they yield a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or 100 times. Let's pray. God, sometimes the work of becoming good soil is so scary to us. It means we have to admit some things about ourselves, and we have to trust you to change us. Lord, I ask that you would do that within us this morning, and that you would continue to do that within us as we go through the days and the weeks to come. Help us to be, as a church, the garden that you have planned. Help us to change the landscape with your will and with the seeds of your will planted within us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.